Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. It's For Love of Food at SaverLife.com. And last Saturday of 2020, and we move on to 2021, thankfully. I hope you had some wonderful food this past week. And I had, for the first time, I think, a cookie made with miso, a peanut butter and miso cookie, which is an intriguing flavor combination, one you should try. And if anyone wants a recipe, I can send it on to you, email it to you, michael@saverlife.com. The miso takes away a little of the sweetness of the cookie. The peanut butter is kind of subtle, so someone who's not a big fan of peanut butter cookies might really love this, because it's not a super peanut buttery cookie, and really a delicious combination. Just great texture, and also the miso's it's such an unusual flavor in a cookie that you kind of take another bite and then another bite, and you're trying to, if someone doesn't know what's in it, I'm not sure they could guess. It would be fun to see what they would guess was a part of the ingredients for this cookie. So miso peanut butter cookie, and I've got a bunch of them in the freezer that are not cooked yet, so I'm going to take those out over the course of probably of January and cook some of those over the next month, right from the freezer. Also, I had really a great dish from New York Times recipe. Their recipe app, and some phenomenal recipes, and a lot of good advice in the comments. So, if you try some of these recipes, you should read some of the comments about them. Also, one we had for Christmas dinner was sweet potato and Gruyere gratin. And I love potatoes, regular ones as well, sweet potatoes. I love Gruyere, so this was just perfect. You slice them really thinly, and there's a bunch of ways you can arrange them. The New York Times recipe, they're arranged kind of flat, slightly overlapping, but we made them sort of standing on their sides, kind of all packed together. Really a cool look. So this has a lot of Gruyere, has heavy cream, and it's really delicious. They say about an hour and a half to make it. Includes some sage and rosemary also. So if you love sweet potatoes in particular, this is something you should get, and you should cook the daylights out of it. So it caramelizes around the edges, so the cheese browns. So it's the kind of thing you could probably reheat four times, and it would still be getting better at that point. Really fantastic dish. The recipe says 3 fat cloves of garlic, 2 cups of heavy cream. There's a lot of heavy cream in this. Some Parmesan, 3 eggs, and say about 3 pounds of sweet potatoes, and nearly 2 cups of Gruyere. So this is a rich dish, and you could, I expect, cut back on some of the cream, and I don't know, but be careful. Because many or decades ago, I decided to make a low-fat version of tapioca, I think, and I used skim milk, which was an awful choice. And I've only made a couple of things that were just completely inedible, and that was one of them, maybe the worst one of them. When I say, cut back on the cream, I don't mean go to skim milk, for example. But I can imagine this dish would be as good, maybe almost as good, with, you know, whole milk and part cream. I don't know. It's the kind of dish that, you know, I think you could make a bunch of times because I loved it, and kind of see where the, if there's a point where it's not quite as good if you cut back too much on the cream. Very rich and delicious way to have sweet potatoes. We also had rosemary in a cake. This was in a an olive oil cake, so no butter in this. I guess that was to make up for all the cream and things that were in the other dish. Fantastic olive oil cake, which was flavored with a little bit of like infused rosemary in that olive oil that was used for the cake, and then a little bit of rosemary for decorations. But the rosemary and lavender are two really intense things to use in cooking, and they need to be used judiciously. They are they're intense. And this was perfect. Maybe infusing it. I don't know if you'd cut pieces of rosemary into the cake, it would have looked strange also because you'd have little black specks. And actually someone many years ago made a cake for me, a birthday cake, which had lemon balm in the frosting, but they had kind of like pureed the lemon balm, which made for delicious flavor, but it made the frosting look, which was probably an unfortunate choice of a white frosting, buttercream frosting with the pureed lemongrass or lemon balm, and so it kind of looked like a black pepper frosting, but the flavor was amazing. You got to be careful how you use these herbs, and in this case, infusing the oil, really a neat way to add a very mild hint of rosemary, sort of on the finish of the cake, and sage and rosemary, basil. There are a number of herbs that we think of as just savory, but add some really great elements to desserts. And you know, chefs have been using basil. I've seen that on menus I don't know when the trend started, but it seems like it's maybe become more common. And this rosemary cake was, again, olive oil cake, really a great combination. Kind of a thicker texture than most cakes. Kind of reminded me of some cupcakes and cakes we've made with a recipe that has sour cream in it, which also makes for a denser, tighter texture. I've been spoiled by that because that's often what we do, or pretty much always what we do if we make cupcakes and often with cakes, is using this sour cream recipe. And so when I go and have some cupcakes, often, you know, commercial cupcakes or, you know, from a local bakery, maybe somewhere in Rochester, the cupcakes are just too fluffy. They're, I don't like the texture of I guess you call it a traditional cupcake. Although I say Cheesy Eddie's includes some cheesecake in some of their cupcakes. They cut a core of the cupcake out and insert some, after it's done cooking, insert some cheesecake in that, which makes for a really delicious combination. But cupcakes on their own often are just too light. And you kind of get that sense when someone puts a lot of frosting on it and the cupcakes just want to tip over because all the weight's on top and there's just sort of a fluffy cupcake underneath it. I tend to be someone who likes a little bit of frosting and a lot of the cake. Just by holding a cupcake, you can get kind of a sense for whether I'm, whether the combination's going to be the type I like. Usually it's, or almost always, it's not as heavy as sour cream cupcakes I'm used to. So this olive oil cake also, and maybe even a slightly heavier texture than the sour cream cake, but delicious if you're trying to cut butter out of your diet or reduce it, then using this olive oil in a cake is really good. Might want to shoot for, you know, as mild an olive oil as you can, which probably means more of an inexpensive olive oil. Someone gave us some really nice sort of ultra premium olive oil, and it's got a ton of flavor. And if you've had more freshly pressed olive oil, places that specialize in olive oils, you know, Lombardi's has hundreds of olive oils to choose from, and if you're looking for some that have lots of flavor, ask them for some recommendations, because most people are used to olive oils that are pretty much neutral, and you know, you add herbs to them, and you know, you might have them for dipping in a restaurant, and you know, the flavor is more about the herbs that are added to them than the olive oil itself. But olive oils can be incredibly flavorful, and you should try a few of them. Lombardi's can help guide you to some really delicious ones. So if you want recipes to any of these things, email me, michael@saverlife.com, and be happy to share them. Love to hear what kinds of things you've had for the holidays. Maybe some local wines, perhaps, some local recipes. There is a new cookbook that just came out. Pre-sale was November 28th. So just a month ago for Small Business Saturday. It's called A Seat at the Table. And this is a Rochester cookbook. It was just launched by Casey Bowker of Rock Connoisseur and also Stephanie Hanna of Sip and Savor Rochester. They decided to go to local chefs and get some recipes from them and create this cookbook. The recipes come from places like Rella and Nosh, Caramel Bakery and Bar, McCann's Local Meats, Paul Giuliamo does the pasta sauces, Cheshire, Matilda Coffee House and Kitchen, Madeline's Catering, The Playhouse Swilburger, Bubby's Barbecue, Newbury Park Pastries, Unterbiergarten, Rock Boards, and also Superfly DMC, which is the only one of these that is no longer open. That closed about maybe 2 months ago. So Superfly DMC is permanently closed, unfortunately. But a bunch of cool places for you to check out the recipes, and you can go online. It's $22 on their web store if you want to pick it up, and $25 for contactless drop-off within 15 miles of Rochester. A portion of the proceeds will go to Camp Good Days, and it's a neat way to raise a little extra money for them when a lot of their normal fundraisers couldn't be held this year. So you'll meet some of the people from these restaurants in the cookbook, as well as an excuse to try some new recipes. So A Seat at the Table is the book, and 15 chefs and bars that share these recipes. Again, some well-known places, maybe some places you've never been to, but after seeing their recipes, reading a little bit about them, maybe they'll go to the top of your list or where you want to go. Just before Christmas, I went into Abundance looking for tonic water. We're going to experiment with some cocktails, and tonic water is... That's something I don't normally consume many cocktails. tend to be more of a wine person than cocktails, but wanted to get some. And tonic water has quinine in it. It was perhaps originally designed to be an anti-malarial drink, probably saved a lot of lives, and it has evolved to become a key ingredient in cocktails. And I so I went to Abundance, found one, and the packaging says spectacular tonic water, and I found that kind of interesting, because I tend to think of tonic water like sparkling water, like seltzer. I tend to think of tonic water as just, you know, kind of bubbly water. But it does have some flavor with that quinine, and there is a little bit of flavor to tonic water. I really hadn't tried it on its own in decades, probably. I don't know about spectacular, though. It's still water with a little bit of flavor. So I found that kind of intriguing packaging. But made for some very delicious cocktails. So, again, if you find ingredients, you find things that you haven't heard me mention or haven't seen or heard about much, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes tomorrow, the Grapevine. One note, we'll talk about more tomorrow on the wine show. Congratulations to Forge Cellars for being on the Wine Spectator Top 100 list. Top 100 sort of most interesting, most exciting wines of 2020. And these are wines from all over the world. Often the Finger Lakes has one on this list, but not always. Last year, I don't think we had any. So congratulations to Forge Cellars. Kind of nice to be in not just the top 100, but also in the top 50. They were at number 31, which I think is the highest a Finger Lakes wine has ever been. I think Ravine's was around 36 or 33 or 39, somewhere in there a couple of years ago for their Riesling. And Forge Cellars, their Classique Riesling, and they have a pretty extraordinary record, I believe, and I've kept track of it, but I haven't sort of written this down. I need to. All of their scores from Wine Spectator since their first vintage, which was 2011, and I believe they've scored 90 or more points for every single Riesling that they have produced since 2011. So, and often 92, 93, 94 points, which Wine Spectator doesn't give out very, very easily. They award those, very carefully as you go up into toward the mid 90s. And, I would venture there can't be another winery, or not many wineries in the world, which have only 90 point scores for one of their signature wines, which is Riesling for Forge Cellars. I think they got an 89 for a Pinot Noir several years ago from Wine Spectator. They've gotten 90 points for those also. Extraordinary, really, from the first vintage to score 90 more or more points. And they've sustained this over many years. I think maybe this was the 2017 that was in the list. Check and see which vintage this was for the Dry Classique. But only $19. Really pretty amazing. Actually, the Wine Spectator, oh, it does, 2018. 2018, they gave it 91 points. It's more accurate to say it earned 91 points. They didn't just give that away. They earned 91 points. Only $19, the listed price in Wine Spectator. 4,000 cases made. So this, if you compare that to a lot of the other wines in the top 100, pretty available. They probably aren't going to sell out even though they're on this list, but they are going to be selling a lot more Riesling, and they make many other Rieslings. So we'll talk about those tomorrow. Many single vineyard Rieslings, and those have also scored quite high. And there are a few wines on the Wine Spectator list that are in the $12 to $19 range, but most of them are more than that. So Forge Cellars is probably going to come out in their best value list also in a few months, because this is great value at $19. Their Dry Classique Riesling from Forge Cellars. So congratulations to them. It helps to put the Finger Lakes on the map, you know, to have top 100 wines like this with some great company. There's some fantastic and very expensive wines on this list. There's a $175 Bollinger. The number one wine is 96 points, but it's also $139 for the wine Rioja, many other wines on this list. Paul Hobbs, who's doing, will be releasing a Riesling, I think maybe this summer, the first Riesling from the Finger Lakes that he's made, his Pinot Noir Sonoma Coast Gold Rock Estate, 95 points, and is in this top 100 as well at number 51, $75 a bottle, which for a 95 point wine is also pretty unusual. Great value as they get up 94, 95, 96 points. Wine Spectator's wines tend to get much more expensive and often many hundreds of dollars, not just 75 like this one. So I think for at least the next week or so, maybe the entire month of December, which we have a few days left, Wine Spectator's site is free to peruse online, so you can check out this list and some of the past lists also. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes, talking about a beaver lodge in downtown Rochester, not at the zoo. Be back, Michael Warren Thomas here with For the Love of Food.